Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Satan's World of Filthiness is the title of this message. Someone has put together a meme. It's of a man and a woman at a wedding, obviously being married, referencing the end of Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 28. And it reads this way: if you want to teach the world the love of God, become a husband who loves his wife as Christ loves the church. If you want to teach the world how the church submits to the Lord Jesus Christ, become a wife who submits to her husband. Let me read this again, and then we'll read the text at the end of Ephesians 5. It says, if you want to teach the world the love of God, become a husband who loves his wife as Christ loves the church. And if you want to teach the world, if you want to be a witness, in other words, of the love of God in Christ, if you want to teach the world how the church submits to the Lord, become a wife who submits to her husband. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's important, that we submit one to another in every relationship in the body of Christ. And then verse 22, and that includes in marriage, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, also love the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That's the end of Ephesians chapter 5, where you can find that beautiful passage, so important in illustrating and depicting the relationship the body of Christ has with the bridegroom Jesus Christ, which is modeled in a marriage of two godly people. And so we have all seen the continual and increasing attack upon the family unit in America and across the world. One writer notes this. He says, Satan only speaks one language, the language of lies. In fact, he is incapable of speaking truth because, as Jesus said, there is no truth in him. Everything about his influence in this earth is all about lying. It started with Adam and Eve in the garden, as when Satan told his lie to the first man and woman, and it continues now. Satan works in the art of deception. He works hard to get you to believe something that is not true. I heard someone say that one of his greatest deceptions is trying to convince people he doesn't exist. Well, I have to agree with that. Then the writer continues, when people believe something to be true, they will often respond to that truth and with their words and action. He is a great actor and knows how to play the part. But remember, his goal is deception. The imagery of a little red devil with a pitchfork is not reality. That's why discernment is so important and why knowing the truth of God's word is so vitally important. The scripture says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge, not because they didn't have the knowledge of the word, but because they did not study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, while searching the scriptures daily. That's what John 5, 39 and 40. The writer continues, become so familiar with the truth of God's word and work, the work of the Holy Spirit, that even if Satan himself comes you will be able to spot the counterfeit. Now, that's a very good statement. This person becomes so familiar, I'm going to underline that, with the truth of God's word, because God's word is true, John 17:17, and the work of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, that even if Satan himself comes to you, you will be able to spot the counterfeit. Then he says, the wrath of God is consistently directed toward those who do not follow his will. And he gives a bunch of scripture reference for that, which will be in the text part of this message. Then he finishes, the New Testament also supports the concept of God as a God of wrath who judges sin. And by the way, he judged sin on the cross in Christ. And so if we still have that sin, it's because we're not submitted to him, which begins in repentance and faith. The final couple of sentences of this statement on the devil says, the story of the rich man and Lazarus speaks of the judgment of God and serious consequences for the unrepentant sinners. That's in Luke 16. The wrath of God is a fearsome and terrifying thing. As this person finishes, we are to not to be ignorant of the devices of Satan. By the way, that's 2 chapter 2 verse 11. We're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. In John 8:44, Jesus gives us an explosive and many faceted revelation of our enemy Satan. John 8:44. Now most of us already know John 10:10, which is another absolute landmark scripture on the enemy of all souls, and it's so important to know our enemies. John 10:10, we all recall Jesus said that the thief, that's speaking of the devil himself, cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Everything Satan does is to steal, kill, and to destroy mankind, who was created in God's image, and the very temples of the Holy Spirit are the body of Christ. And so while Satan cannot destroy or attack God directly, he does so by attacking the body of Christ. Here we have John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, he tells the false religious leaders of his day, and the lust of your father, that is the devil, ye will do. You see, we know people by their fruits, Jesus said, right? He was a murderer. So far we see that Satan is full of lust. He is a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. Remember, Satan and a third of the angels were in the truth, but they didn't remain in the truth. They didn't abide, continue. And so they were vanquished. They were violently ejected from eternal glory, Luke 10:18, etc., because there is no truth in him. So the statement this writer makes concerning the fact that, as we read earlier, Satan can only speak one language, and that is what? Lies and deception. So there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, Jesus said, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father, and he cannot be anything but. He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And over the last several decades, at least the last several, he has waged war on the family unit in America fiercely and viciously. The government is totally diabolical, as many of you know. Our current government is filled with evil doers who are robbing and pillaging the people from A to Z, and that goes all the way down to the local courts in America. They're destroying families. They're taking children away from their parents. This is all satanic. We know that because it's Satan that has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, I understand that there are some extreme cases where children need to be kept safe. I understand that. But what they're doing is, here's their MO. Many of you already have figured this out, but some of you need to be cued in on it. What they're doing is, when there is a divorce, regrettably, they isolate the money earner of the man and the woman, and they take that money earner, the higher money earner, and they take the children or child away from the money earner so that they can charge the higher money earner of the two being divorced child support. And most people don't realize it, but we need to make this famous, that the local family court judges, they're criminals, absolute black robe RICO criminals who have signed an independent contractor agreement with the federal government, the Social Security Administration, which is illegal, and it is a violation of their oath of office. It's a violation of the emoluments clause, etc. So they get paid by the federal government to collect child support. Now, it used to be where there were individual non-governmental agencies that were involved with that, and that's legal. But then the attorney general's offices took this task upon themselves because it could make them, and it does make them, per state, tens of millions, probably more like hundreds of millions of dollars per year. It really is true to follow the money. That kind of goes with 1 Timothy chapter 6, which says the love of money is the root of all evil. So those go together. We know that the 1 Timothy scripture is, chapter 6, is an actual scripture, but follow the money is good advice. It seems to coincide with what scripture says. There are so many greedy, evil, covetous men in the world, and so many of them claim to be Christians, and those who are proud to be Americans, they celebrate veterans on a regular basis, especially around July 4th. And yet these same people are robbing and pillaging the people at a local level across their bench. Step up to the bench. In French, that means the bank. You can read the destruction of a society from within. And one of those places is going to be Jeremiah chapter 5 through 7. Put on your seatbelt when you read that. But you see all of these things happening where there are bribes being taken. There are people doing evil things for money, even though those things are unlawful and violate their very oath. It violates what's right, most of all, in the eyes of God. They are making themselves rich at the expense of the people, destroying lives and leaving behind them a trail of broken hearts. Familial bonds are broken in this path of destruction that is being leveled by the family courts. And I'm glad Trump got reelected. It looks like they have plans to do a lot of complete renovation. That's what's got to be done. In Jeremiah 1 verse 10, I sure wish somebody could get this verse to President Trump, because this is the model of transforming a nation that has been wayward. Notice Jeremiah 1:10, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to do what? Six things, I believe it is. To root out, this is how God works in our individual lives, and also when you're cleaning up a system, it applies to everything from the individual life to a school board to a complete government portfolio, every branch of it, etc. This is the principle of God. To root out, notice what's comes first, to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now, first things first, you gotta root out the evil and make an example, pull down everything that does not belong to God, that is not right, and to destroy and to throw down. Then and only then to build and to plant. Now, picture a house someone inherited, and this house has been uninhabited for 100 years. And it's all grown over. Now, what they want to do is restore that home. They don't want to scrap it. They want to restore it. So what is the first thing they're going to go in and do? Are they going to go in there, oh, let's put some paint on the walls? Oh, no, 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 no. That's the building and the planting phase, the last two of the what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 things to be done when you are going to restore something back to what it was intended to be, like a nation. How about your life as the temple of the Holy Spirit? First thing you got to do is repent, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. That's the rooting out or the crucifixion of the old man, pulling down everything in your mind and heart and body that does not glorify God, destroying it, fleeing from it, denouncing it, having having no more to do with it, and to throw it down violently. Then God can begin to furnish your heart, your mind, and your life with those things which please Him and cause you to be faithful and fruitful for the Lord's eternal glory. So in a nation, you have to pull down. One of the things we got to do in America or any nation, as many people listen to this podcast all over the world, is to set in order the worship of God. And the worship of God is not through religion. It's through relationship. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He also said in John 17:3, this is life eternal. Here it is. This is the whole reason why God sent His Son, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And then the next thing you have to restore is what God defines as the family unit, and it must be built. Let's talk a little bit about the family unit. We're talking about the lies of Satan. He has told so many lies that has brought such great destruction. I want to encourage you, especially ladies, to tune in on social media to the transformed wife. Oh boy, every day she puts out at least one meme. And let me tell you, this woman, in my estimation, is a national treasure. And you'll see why when you start reading her post. And lots of rebellious, deceived, delusional women become furious at reading her post. I mean, but so many godly women follow her and are rejoicing, as I am and so many others I know, that this woman is stating it like it is. Now, her audience is women, but a lot of men will read it. And I'm one of those men, because when I pull up a certain app to post things on or interact with some of the people who do work for our ministry, we pay them to do, her stuff comes up first. I guess it knows I want to see her stuff. And it is just absolutely profound. And you'll see what I mean when you look at it. Look her up, the transformed wife. An account named Kuyper, Kuyper, says this: we have watched the deep state, that means Satan's children, in organized fashion to working in our government and through it to destroy the nation. That's what the deep state could probably be defined as. We have watched the deep state actively seek to destroy anything Christian, from our private schools to Christian universities, because so many are anti-God. The hate will continue for Christians. It is not just the deep state. It is the agenda of liberal or ungodly America. As we watch them push the sodomite and trans movement in society, they are also pushing for them to be leaders in the church. Boy, don't we see that, right? We've been talking about the apostasy of the churches for decades now. In 2004, the first book of the ministry came out called Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us. And that was the culmination of decades of daily study, and lots of that study came on that topic. We've also got another book kin to it titled Predators in Our Pulpits. These are both explosive volumes full of scripture that probably you've never even read, or you have but you never saw, and it's certainly not being preached, because wolves aren't going to preach on wolves. Because if you learn how to discern wolves, I should say, you're going to see who they really are. And they don't want that happening. They got to keep the wool pulled over the eyes of the sheep. In the last days, 11 said there's going to be a famine, not of bread and water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's why it's vital that you and I daily, ourselves, personally, individually, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Kuyper continues, we must resist. This movement is an attack by Satan to destroy the nucleus of the family unit. It was created by God, the family unit, when He created Adam and Eve. It was not Adam and Adam or even Eve. He continues, the family unit must be preserved, which should be the church's mission. Satan is alive and will spread even more destruction on Christians if we allow it. We must not allow Satan's destruction. He's talking about of the family unit. New report, he cites a report. It's titled, New Report Shows Nearly 70% of the Biden administration's education enforcement targeted Christians and career college. That comes from a Fox News article, unquote. Let's talk about this a little bit, friends. Notice Psalm 127. There's some beautiful things here. It's only 5 verses long. Except the Lord build a house, foundation. They labor in vain that build it. The Lord is the foundation of any life or any nation. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. God has to be first. It is vain, he says now, verse 2, Psalm 127. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Verse 3, notice, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Let's read that again. What a beautiful statement from our wonderful, benevolent, and loving God, who has such a beautiful plan if we just do it his way. Amen. Lo, children are an heritage. They're a gift, a heritage of or from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. What have we been doing? Not you and I, but in America, there's been the attack on the family. Remember, Satan is the liar, the murderer. He tells lies to cause children to be sacrificed in their own mother's womb as a reenactment of the sacrifice we read about in the Old Testament, when even the Jews at some point were sacrificing their own children on the altar of Moloch, which represents Satan. And that's what abortion is. Thou shalt not kill. Every abortion, 100%, I don't care what you say, you filthy devil. It doesn't matter how the pregnancy happened. You're still murdering a child. Repent. You're not saved. Shut your mouth. Shut up. That's still a child. How does the child now merit being murdered? I met a lady recently. She's receiving ministry of the word, reading some of the books we have in Spanish now in the Jesus track. And she was testifying with such gentleness of heart and peace that she knows that one of her children, which was conceived out of rape, is a gift from God, and knew by the Holy Spirit when she said that, however that conversation happened, it was a confirmation that child is a gift of God. In fact, her children are so precious. This is in Mexico. The children and parents relationship down here, which we'll get into here in a minute a little bit more, is absolutely poetry in motion. It's like America must have been in the 30s and 40s. So as arrows, verse 4, Psalm 127, are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. You ever notice how happy these big families are usually? Man, what a blessing. Happy, here it is. Verse 5, the last verse. Happy or blessed is the man that hath his quiver full of them. The more children, the better. It's only selfishness through satanic lies, as we started out talking about, that causes people not to want to have children. If you've had a child, you're listening to me, you know that there are few things, maybe no things on earth in this life, that is such a blessing as holding that baby in your bosom, in your arms. And I mean, you just can't stop kissing them. I'm not even going to try to articulate. It just can't be done. The best we could do is say, my baby, my children are 1,000 kisses by lunch babies. I don't know how to talk about that. It's such a deeply rooted and blessed thing God made in us. It uses us to bring forth children. Incredible. Remember, he said, be fruitful and multiply. I think it's a podcast on that with written text from scripture. You can look it up. Be fruitful and multiply. Just put in be fruitful in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com. And that command has never been rescinded. He said, be fruitful and multiply. We've got Satan attacking, indoctrinating, and poisoning, and lying to young people. I've talked to many of them. Many of among my friends. And the guys are scared to get married. They have everything to lose. Everything. The children are taken, if it ends in divorce, God forbid, the children are taken from them. All of their money's taken from them. Their life is over for 20 years or so. It's completely destructive. And many of the young people, as you guys already know, don't have it in them because they've been lied to have babies. Some of the girls think that having a baby is an inconvenience, completely selfish. And those young ladies will grow grow up to not have any children. That's sad. When they're old, they'll have no children. There's so many ways you could go at that. I'll leave that alone. Notice, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, full of children. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, who do you think invented contraception and birth control? Take one guess. Who is it that came to steal that blessing, to kill and to destroy? Who is it? Satan has done that. It's Satan that invented that. It's second nature to us because we've all grown up with it being something that's in your face all the time and available to everybody. But it's the work of Satan. The fruitfulness stopped the people from being fruitful and multiplying. When we have children, that child is created in the image of God and made to worship God. Let me stop right here. Say this. We've never needed more godly parents having godly children, or having children and raising them up in the right ways of the Lord. We've never needed that so bad as we need now, saints. Absolutely. So blessed or happy is the man that has his quiver full of children. Two things here in this chapter. It's 5 verses long. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And then verse 3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So we're talking about the foundation of a nation. Any nation has a foundation, and that foundation is going to be the family unit. God and God's family unit. You can see the future of a nation by the family. The family, or lack thereof, determines the future of the nation. And so if the Lord isn't allowed to reign and the people aren't living according to what he says, like he says about wives or women, 1 Timothy 5:14, women are to marry, number one. Number two, they are to bear children, and they are to guide the house. There it is. That's the model. They are to marry, they are to bear children and guide the house. And the children we read here are the heritage, the blessing of God, the fruit of the womb is his reward. It's a blessing. It's a gift from him. And any parent absolutely knows that. So if we see a nation that has a healthy family structure, and we see young people coming together, one man or one young man, one woman, in holy matrimony. And here in Mexico, when I first got here, I was at a beautiful overlook, and it overlooks the whole city, and a very high mountain city I live in, which is most of what central Mexico is. Most people in America think Mexico is just the beaches, but not at all. And so I just scanned about 40 degrees around and to catch the overlook. And I got home and I looked at that little short video. It's what, 10 seconds long or something. And I think I counted like 5 or 7 young couples hugging each other and everything. Listen, what a blessing. That is natural affection. Unnatural affection, as scripture talks about in Romans 1, is the Adam and Steve variety of perversion. And so God created men and women to be attracted to each other. That's how we all got here, guys. I don't know why I have to say that, but we've been so programmed, people, especially in the Western world. It's been not only just in your face, but also subliminally, if that could be said. We've been conditioned, and we have to stand up and speak out the truth of God. God created family to be one man, one woman with children. And so that's a beautiful thing when you are in a country and you see young people coming together, and then you see all over the streets all the time, you see beautiful families with their children, and you see grandchildren and grandparents, abuelos and abuelas, grandmothers and grandfathers, integrally involved with those children. And I mean, the love, it is just absolutely that they have. I'm not even going to try to explain it. I can't do it. I don't have that vivid of a vocabulary, but it's absolutely beautiful. The family fabric is so beautifully rich. Here, it is a example to the world. It's exemplary. It is admirable. It's absolutely exceptional and such a blessing. And so the family unit in any nation is God's building block, his foundation for any country, people, or society. And that's why Satan works so hard to break it down. And one of the things we should keep in mind is in the Garden of Eden, the first institution is the man and the wife, the family. There was no church then. It was the family. The family unit comes first by divine priority, not the church, the family unit. And by the way, the church, I'm not talking about some stupid little building that somebody slaps such and such a name of a church on it, stacked some chairs and set up a piece of wood called a pulpit and then threw a cross on the wall. That's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about the body of Christ, the church, meaning the people of God, the born again, blood washed people of God, no matter where they are. Three institutions come from God in society and are foundational. Number one, in this order of importance, the family. Number two, the body of Christ. I'm going to say it that way. Maybe we should just start calling it the body of Christ more than we do the church, because people get this picture. Number three, civil authority. And why is there civil authority? To protect the first two, the family unit and the people of God. God ordained civil authority for the punishment of evildoers, quote unquote, 1 Peter 2:13 and 14. These things are hardly ever taught. You can't see the world and how God desires it to be, and also how far it is from the way God desires it to be, until you understand this grid, if you will, this foundational truth. I want you to maybe backtrack on this podcast and listen to that again. Number one, the family institutions, three of them. Number one, the family. Number two, the body of Christ. And number three, civil authority. If there wasn't civil authority, there would be absolute chaos. People could just go around stabbing, shooting, killing, stealing from, and doing anything they want to anybody. Well, how would you like that? No, nobody would like that. Even though some people think they would, that's delusional. There's order in the mind, in the word, and in the kingdom of Christ, and also that order he designed and desires to be in the world. And the family unit is the building block of God, the foundation of any country. As the family goes, so goes the society, the country. You can count on that, as Kuyper was pointing out earlier and what we read earlier. And that's why Satan, the liar, the thief, and the murderer has come to steal, kill, and destroy the family unit and the members thereof. As goes the family, so goes the nation. Any nation without the God-defined family unit flourishing is a falling, sinking nation. Armed with the knowledge of God's word, we can discern what the future of any nation is, any people is, any society, by the health of the family unit or lack thereof in that nation or among those people. Now, here in the beautiful country of Mexico, it is so very refreshing to see an abundance everywhere of young men and women coming together to be married. And by the way, their marriage processions in the street are beautiful. And they're coming together as a family and they're having children, and lots of them. What a blessing. The more the better is God's truth about it, as we read earlier. I know that hits a lot of Americans hard, even Christians, because people have been so doctored up and deceived and indoctrinated and hadn't been in the word, and so they still pumped up with this, well, if you can't afford them. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter how many kids you have, you let God decide and he's going to provide for them. Where is your faith? Obviously you're not saved, because if you were really saved, you'd be living by faith, not by finances. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It sounds like you're not even saved. You need to repent and get saved. The education system in the United States of America has been run by Satan's agents for generations, as Kuyper pointed out earlier, and has resulted in the perversion of the roles of men and women. Little girls are taught to disrespect. First of all, they're taught to worship themselves. What do you think Barbie's all about? It's an immediate ungodly parents get their children Barbie dolls. I said it standing on both feet with no apology ever. You are ungodly if you got your children plugging into and being deceived by, indoctrinated, and made delusional from birth on Disney or things like Barbie dolls. Anybody not teaching their children the word of God is not saved. 100%. Train up a child, the scripture says, in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. There's no such thing as a Christian who is a parent that isn't teaching their child the word of God every day, 100%. You want to know if you're saved and you're a parent? You just been given the truth right there. Do you need to repent? God entrusted that baby with you. That isn't really your baby. He just blessed you to have that baby and to train that child up. Are you training that child up? And by the way, forget the idea that the child can't understand the King James Bible. My own son was saved at 4.5 years old. That's all he ever heard was the King James Bible, the real Bible. And he asked me one day driving in the car, Daddy, I looked in the rearview mirror at that little beautiful face. And I said, what, baby? And he said, Daddy, I want to get saved. Well, what's a daddy to do? We pulled over and he commenced to repent out loud and put his faith in Christ. What a blessing. God is so good. And that's all he ever heard. Don't tell me children can't understand the word of the real word of God. You don't think the Holy Spirit was convicting and teaching him? He sure was. Through the real Bible, the sharp two-edged sword of the King James Bible, the fulfillment of Psalm 12:6-7, where he promised to preserve his word to our generation, and he sure did to the English-speaking people and many other all across the world. It's really not about the King James Bible as much as it's about the manuscripts from which they're taken. We got a whole lot of that on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just look on the right side on the desktop version for Bible versions category. It's a drop-down menu on the right hand on every page. Over 200 categories. The education system, as we come to a closure, in the United States of America has been run, as we know, by Satan's agents for generations. And they got to be what, according to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10? They got to be thrown down. They've got to be rooted out, plucked up, and thrown down and destroyed. And boy, I can't wait for the indictments that are coming. Hallelujah. Sorry, but these people are demonic, they're evil, they're criminals, and they need to be in jail, if not worse. And anybody with a sane mind knows it. I'm not going to go into all that right now as far as what they've been doing, but it is wicked. So Satan's agents through the education system have been destroying lives wholesale for generations in America. Little girls, as I began to say, are taught to disrespect little boys, to compete with and hate those little boys from birth. And so here in Mexico, you still have the natural affection between male and female here. That's what God designed. That's not lust. That's a natural attraction. Again, that's how we all got here. Need a reality check here. Unnatural affection, as it speaks about in Romans chapter 1. Go ahead and read a little portion of Romans 1 here in a second. But I want you to think about, many of you ladies have beautiful sons and daughters, and as I've seen some women say, they're very concerned about how their little boys in America or anywhere in the Western world, so-called, are going to be able to find a godly wife when they grow up or of age. And let me just say, I believe that's a valid concern that's worthy, and prayer would be warranted for such. Notice in Romans chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorify him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, or images in their minds and hearts that were filled with wicked imaginations, which the Bible later says we are to cast down those imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10. And their foolish, what kind of heart do they have? Foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's why God forbid any images from being created to worship him. That's right there in the second commandment, which says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 through 5, thou shalt have no other gods before me, the Lord says. The first commandment, Exodus 20, verse 3, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, etc. So continuing in Romans chapter 1, we are reading now in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Uncleanness means sexual fornication, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That speaks of sodomites, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They tried to change the family structure that God ordained, one man, one woman, and children, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. See, America has been celebrating that which God calls an abomination, and for which he destroyed the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. So men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense, the reaping of their error, which was meet or due to them. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, don't we see that in America? Because people don't retain him in their personal knowledge of him, even those who once knew him, as we were reading earlier in this passage when we first began in verse 21, and you can read this yourself. This is a very important chapter. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they were going to do it their own way. What has that resulted in? God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, or malice, right? Whisperers, talking behind each other's backs. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, eternal damnation, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So those who stand by idly while these things are happening, instead of speaking the truth, are also just as guilty, because they're partaking in something that's an abomination to God. And God told us, Jesus said, you're to shout the truth from the housetops with no fear of man. Matthew 10, 26 through 28. And so as we close, we're going to pray here in just a minute. Remember, saints, the Bible tells us that we are to pray for our country, for our leaders, in particular the civil leaders. It doesn't say we have to pray that there's going to be godly leaders. It says, and that's normally not going to be the case, we're to pray for the leaders. Remember, the heart of the king is in the hand of who? The Lord, and he directs it wherever he wants it to go. Proverbs 21:1, right? How about Jeremiah 29:7? What a verse this is. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captive. See, we're sojourners in this life. Where do you find yourself right now? What city, what town, what country? You're to seek the peace of that city and pray unto the Lord for it, and pray unto the Lord for it. Are you praying? A lot of people just sit back condemning. We can observe these things, but we also need to pray. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Meditate on that. See, your prayers are going to be designed to bring about peace where you live. In America, under the communist satanic regime we are now violently ridding ourselves of, thank God, we have doors being kicked in at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning for people that didn't do anything. One of the things that they, crimes, quote-unquote, that they committed was praying at an abortion clinic or singing songs. Are you kidding me? How could you feel safe? You're not in a place of peace. They could do this to you and I. Those people matter. Those J6ers and their families matter. By the way, thank you for praying for them. Thank you for supporting, because we have been able to drop hundreds of books to the J6ers who are now getting ready to be released. Hundreds of the scripture-rich ministry books. Safeguard Your Jerusalem.com/store. So in the peace thereof, that is, in the peace that's in your city, shall ye have peace. So he gives you personal incentive to pray for the peace of your city. Notice 1 Timothy 2, before we pray, I exhort, beginning in verse 1, therefore, that first of all, supplications, that means just simply humble request. What do you want? Ask. And ye shall receive, Matthew 7:7. I exhort, therefore, the Apostle Paul writes here under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, what does that mean? Prime ministers, presidents, there you go, governor, anybody in civil authority. For kings and for all that are in authority. Why are you to pray for them? Here it is. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So it's the stated will of God we see here in 1 Timothy 2:2 that believers, as they're making known the one mediator between God and men, verse 5 right here in this passage, or to be able to live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Wow, some people just want destruction. They see the sin of America and they want bombs dropped across America in every inch of it. That's demonic. Where is that coming from? That's ridiculous. By the way, that's going to take you out. Anyway, that's ridiculous. Listen, God wants us to have quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. He says in verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now he just doubles down on it. This is good. What's good? That we pray for those in authority, right? All in authority, so that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. For this, that he just said, is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And we are the ones, we are the witnesses of the Lord who are testifying of the salvation of God, which is in Jesus Christ. And he wants us to be able to do that out of a quiet and peaceable life, living with civil authority that we're to pray for, that is punishing evildoers, not punishing the righteous, but punishing evildoers. Remember, the Lord says, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. He's talking about the people of God. That's Isaiah 43:10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. And we're to pray that we are to be able to be that witness of the one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ, an environment that is quiet and peaceable. I didn't write this, saints. I'm reading it from the Bible. Quiet and peaceable. Then he goes on to say, this is what's good and acceptable in his eyes, God's eyes. So are we praying? Are we doing what God told us to do and then letting him be God? That's wisdom. A lot of people are taking it upon themselves to speculate that Trump is going to murder all the Christians and incarcerate. Listen, we already have that in the regime that we're getting rid of. We have 1,500 people incarcerated that didn't do anything. And so why would you say Trump's going to do that when all he's done in his first term and even now is already getting people set free out of jail that shouldn't be in there? So let's let God be God, saints, and we'll just do our little part in obedience to him and let him be God. Amen. Because you're not God. I'm not God. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, teach us to know the devices of the enemy, because we're not to be ignorant of them, you said, O God, in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Teach us your ways, O God, and teach us that we have an enemy who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. O God, he is the God of this world. He is a liar, you said. He can do nothing but lie. He is a murderer. He is a deceiver. He is the devil. There is no truth in him. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Lord Jesus, you came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, everyone who is praying this prayer, we pray that you would multiply your grace in their hearts, Lord. You would save them. You would bring them to repentance if they're not already. And anybody that needs a refreshing from the Lord, let them repent, God, so that the time of refreshing for them may come in your presence, according to Acts 3:19, Lord. Now do a work in us, Lord. Have your way in my life, O God, in the name of Jesus. Break me to the core of my being. Root out any and every trace of evil in my heart, any deceit and rebellion. Grant to us, Lord, your gift of heart of flesh. Take away the stony places in our hearts that have been created by our own rebellion, O God, and pride and obstinance and wickedness. In Jesus' name, forgive our sins, Father. Wash us clean in the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and fill us with your Holy Ghost, Lord, and empower us exponentially to be your witnesses in this last hour as we look expectantly and fervently for your soon return, Lord Jesus. And we pray this all in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.